We haven't had a recording mishap in a while.
There it is. And there it is. Hey, are you throwing a no-hitter?
I feel like I've got a shutout going here. Yeah. It's the third period. There's like 4 minutes left, and yeah, I've still allowed no goals.
Hang on, Schwartz. 3 more minutes for the shutout, buddy. Then it all of a sudden just takes a bad hop from center. There it is. Yeah. 4-1. You still win, but there it goes. All right. Well, hopefully we have a show this week. We'll see. Hello and welcome to episode 533 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
Boing.
Yeah, I need a sound effect.
Oh, no, that was the sound of spring being sprung.
Oh, no, I thought it was like you playing a trumpet.
That's not how a trumpet sounds.
Right.
Yeah. Plus, I play the clarinet.
Okay. Yeah.
Never had one lesson.
Jack plays the clarinet. Don't rag on the clarinet.
My daughter plays the clarinet. Well, not now. He doesn't play the clarinet because any wind instruments kills people. But we don't play now. Does he play now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They have class at school?
Yes. I don't know how they orchestrate it, but yeah, I know that they do.
Literally orchestrate it.
Yeah, they do band, or not band, whatever, music. Yeah, they still do music.
They do, I think there was some music at our school, but none of the wind instruments.
Interesting. Nope, still doing wind instruments here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we're okay. Living on the edge.
Yeah, how'd you make it this far? Good for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my daughter hasn't played. She hasn't even practiced at home. Meanwhile, my son, A-okay on the drums. That's legit.
All right. And he's still doing it because I know there's a rash of like your son drumming photos there for a good solid, I don't know, 10 months. And then I haven't seen one in a long time. So I didn't know if, you know, COVID, if he retired or if he's still, you know, banging the sticks, or is that a thing you call that? He's still banging on the sticks.
Still banging the sticks, hitting the skins, I think.
Okay. All right. Hit the skins.
Yeah, he's still doing it. He's still doing it. He just went back into classes. We actually had his first class in about 3 months because he's been doing the online classes. So I've been setting that up for him every week, setting up the laptop with the FaceTiming his teacher. And I do mic it all too. That's the best part, is he gets the full on mic treatment, a big shotgun mic, and he wears the headphones and stuff like that. Nothing. No internal microphone and speaker for that kid.
Okay. Okay, good.
So yeah, I'm happy to be done that part of it though.
And yeah,
back into regular classes. So
sure.
There's that. Amazon? Maybe I should ask the question.
It's still a thing, yeah.
Well, it's still laziness. I'm getting more and more notices from Amazon, from different Amazons, like the different countries telling me that they're unthrilled with my behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, look, I'm already married. I have a wife to tell me that. So, right. I'm just gonna cut you guys off. Just fine. Like, hey, we're gonna cancel you. I'm like, I've stopped answering your emails. Okay, France. I'm looking at you, France. Amazon France got on board too, and I was like, I don't think we're making any money in France.
Okay.
I don't think it matters. I'm not going to lose sleep over France backing out.
Okay.
Okay. As we say in France,
take your fleur-de-lis and go home, France.
Au revoir.
All right.
Yeah. Do they have the fleur-de-lis in France, or is it just in Quebec?
No, they definitely have it in Quebec, but they must have it in France.
Yeah,
Come on.
I'm sure they do. I was kind of just being a Guy Lafleur.
Yeah. We don't want him to go home. We want him to stay.
He's on next week's show, actually. She's going to tell us how to smoke in between periods. That's a true story.
He could smoke I think he probably was smoking on the bench sometimes.
Yeah. I'm probably chewing tobacco. Yeah. A lot of the guys did that back in the day. Just chewing tobacco during. Oh, my. Come on now. I don't even do that in baseball. I'm one of the guys, like, in my era, there's a lot of guys who chewed. And not for me.
Yeah. I think now with the science of sport and just the evolution of training, it sort of doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
The guys always swore by it. They said it makes them sharper.
Now they're just taking drugs, I'm sure, that make them sharper.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah, it's anabolic chewing tobacco.
No, it was wasn't it? Like, I heard a lot of guys talk about...
Greenies?
Like Adderall or focus drugs.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. I never took that. I obviously kind of would have had a better career, but I have tried chewing tobacco. Have you ever tried it?
Once. It was disgusting and I almost threw up. Yeah.
Yeah, I wish I had thrown up. I got pretty dizzy, but of course it was when I was a rookie and all the guys were like, hey, I tried chewing tobacco. I was like 18 and they were in their mid-50s, and so it was kind of weird anyway. But they seemed like they're in their mid-50s, but they're like 25. So
now you're that guy. Now you're the old guy.
Yeah.
Giving chewing tobacco to the 17 or 18-year-old.
I don't give chewing tobacco, but I do start a lot of sentences with, hey, don't tell your mom, okay? But I was on my first road trip with the old guys when I was like 18 or something like that. Yeah, I was 18, and they gave me a big, like a half a tin of Copenhagen at once, and I was like, this is nothing. And they're like, all right, let's go. We're leaving. So I stood up and then just promptly fell face first into the coffee table. It's like, okay, wow, the room is spinning. And I'm sweating and trying to throw up, but I can't. And then we went to the nightclub instead. In Vernon. It was in Vernon, of all places.
Moral of the story?
What was the name of the nightclub in Vernon? That's the moral of the story. Do you know it? I know it.
I don't frequent nightclubs in Vernon, so.
Now you're gonna. There's no way it's still there. No way.
What's the name?
It's been burned out. Night Magic.
Oh, great name.
Yeah. Yeah. And they call it, of course,
franchise. Yeah.
Night Tragic. I called it. That was the joke name. Not by me. I didn't think it was that funny.
No, but still appropriate probably most times.
Oh, yeah. Especially when I was there sweating my head off. Anyways, point is with Amazon, maybe they're still there, maybe they're not. I had to buy something. I didn't, turns out. I bought some plexiglass on Amazon.
Okay, you're going to separate the family at the dining room table?
I never thought of that. No, I'm building a hockey rink out back the house.
No.
That, you know how much plexiglass that would be?
That'd be awesome, though. You should build a hockey rink out back for next winter. Yeah.
Well, yeah, considering it snowed today.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Hey, March 20th, first day of spring and it snowed. That's Germany for you. So anyway, Amazon, click through our site. Help us out for now. We'll see about getting rid of them. What's going on, Adam?
Not sure. I took a couple of days off work because it's spring break here. The kids and the wife are off work, so I took a couple of extra days around the weekend just to give myself a little bit of a break and time with family. So yeah, that's new, and we don't have any big plans of such, but just time to spend with the family.
Was this week one of the break? Like you have another week?
They do. I took the Monday off, but yeah, they have all of next week off, and Lisa. Because her school, the school that she's working at, is an alternative calendar school. She has even another week. So they have 3 weeks. She loses a week in the summer, but they have 3 weeks at spring break for her school. So that's not what the kids have, or most of the schools. But yeah, she gets an extra week. So she's very excited about that.
All right, right through Easter. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
I got it now. Yeah.
So nothing. Yeah, the answer is nothing. Yeah.
Okay. Our kids are back in school as of Monday, like actual school.
Okay. You keep saying that, but then it's some sort of modified version. This is the real thing.
This was school. They're back in school.
Okay.
And like actual normal school. All the kids are there. But starting this coming Monday, they have to wear masks the whole day, which wasn't done. It was they were wearing masks in the hallway until now, but now apparently starting Monday, they got to wear masks the whole day. I told my kids,
to just shed them, you know, halfway through homeroom.
Yes, I told them light them on fire. That's what I said. No. No, I said I told my kids, I was like, yeah, I get it, but if you guys want to stay home, you can. I'm not making you go to school with masks on. You can't. You like, I understand. Like, that's the rule. That's fine. I'm not going to argue with it. You know, I'm not a denier. Like, oh, this is all made up by not by Bill Gates, but by the other guy. The other guy made it up. He wants to sell masks or something. I'm not that guy. But I was like, listen. If you don't want to go, don't go. We'll teach you at home. I'll teach you at home. It's fine. And at first they're like, yeah. And then I thought, no, that's going to suck. Dad, I don't like dad. I'm going to go be with my friends.
Yeah. Good call.
So that's up to them. I leave it up to them. They're old enough now. Son's 7. He's old enough to make his decisions.
Sure. He is.
Choose Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Makes him sharper. He said, I'm not taking an Adderall, Dad. What am I, insane? So there's that. Woodworking update, by the way, the plexiglass. I was going to get to that. The plexiglass was for a router table I made. Are you excited about that?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a router. I've always wanted to make a table for it, and I don't have as much space as I would like. And so I built it into the wing, the extension wing of my table saw. So the router drops down, like the router bit just drops down, and then it behaves like a normal table saw. And when I need the router, I just pop it up right there and you're ready to go. And the fence from the table saw actually acts as a fence for the router, which not in this photo, you can't see, but I added like a little MDF fence to it. I built a fence to add on to it.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Well, you okay. come on over and we'll do some routing.
Sure.
So the table saw, I'll tell you right now, the table saw does not scare me. The table saw has my full attention and respect.
Okay.
The router table scares the absolute hell out of me. So there's that.
You're going to tell us why.
Well, look at that thing. Yeah. That little bit is just spinning around at like, I don't know, 4 RPM. I'm not even sure. It's like a record player, technically. No, I forget. I don't even know how many RPM, but it's a lot. And if you just touch that, you're going to lose a finger.
Okay. All right. Don't touch it. This. My suggestion, don't touch it.
No. That's my plan. It's one that's like, you want to be careful with all of your tools. I feel like this is the tool that you need to be the most careful with.
Okay.
So just as a heads up, when you come over, bring a few extra fingers.
Okay.
With you. If you can get them through customs. And,
right.
We'll do that. So, but that's where I needed the plexiglass for. I had a whole story around it, but I'm realizing now it's probably boring to everybody but me. So we'll skip it.
Okay. Great. Appreciate it.
I finished the Gretzky frame for my son.
The Gretzky frame. All right.
There's a picture I had from when I was a kid that Gretzky signed for me, and then I brought it over here, but needed a new frame for it, and never made it until finally just made him a new frame.
Nice. Looks good.
Best wishes, Alan Wayne Gretzky. You've heard of him, right?
Yeah, heard of him.
My son's pretty excited. And then lastly, I didn't make this, not a woodworking update, but I did add a couple of photos to the left-handed hitter's wall in my son's room.
Okay.
So you see there's I attached the one of him. That's my son there, number 8.
Yeah.
Next to his hero, and that's me. No, I wish that was me. That's you know who that is? Who's number 8 for the Red Sox? That's the Red Sox.
Is that Ted Williams?
No. Ted Williams is right above him, and Ted Williams wore 9. I can't believe you didn't know that.
Okay. Who's 8?
Carl Yastrzemski.
Oh, okay.
The Yaz.
It was worth the. I should have seen that from the title of the actual photo that you put in there. I didn't look that closely. We have that photo in Jack's room, the one that is top left where it's cut off halfway of Babe Ruth. Yeah, that one's in Jack's room. I know that one just from the bottom half. Are you impressed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. So the other new addition, which I didn't bother including here, but I do have one right above the Babe Ruth, is a picture of Larry Walker in his Expos baby blues.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a couple of Vancouver boys on that wall, not including myself, of course. We got Larry Walker and Justin Morneau.
So there nice. You go. All right.
Yep. Did that. What else we got? Oh, spring training started yesterday.
Okay.
For my kids' team.
So they're for your kids' team. Okay.
Yeah, we'll wait. Our season doesn't start for. Well, here's the thing: is we're not sure. Like the rules just opened up where you're allowed to have outside. You're allowed to have like 20 kids. But then the numbers went up, and so now we have to go down to 10 kids or so. I forget what the rules are. I honestly don't know. Point is, we haven't been outside in a while, and so we took the opportunity, first chance we could, to get out there. And so right in the middle of practice, here I am throwing fly balls to a group of kids. And you can see that weird fluffy stuff falling from the sky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing says baseball like getting snowed on.
Yeah. But yeah. You, it's a victory. You got kids out there and you're playing baseball in the snow. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I appreciate the Canucks blue and green toque that you're sporting for this occasion. Yeah, nice. Yeah,
my son's not in this group. He's in the other group taking ground balls. And he has the matching Canucks toque.
Nice.
Yeah, so we fly in the flag.
Okay.
So, there you go. I think you're caught up on all things. All things that are going on here. So reminder. Monthly challenge for this month is offbeat. Something a little bit odd, something that you don't normally do. Or there's no or. I said or, but then I had nothing to follow the or.
Okay.
It's just that. It's just that. Offbeat. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I don't know why I'm diving deep on it. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers. Even better, do both of those and tag us at two hosers on the Instagram. And we'll talk about that at the end of the month. Adam. Did you shoot anything interesting?
I did. Yeah. I went to Granville Island yesterday with the family, part of my spring break vacationing. So we kind of took a trip down to Vancouver and walked around a little bit of Vancouver Island and had
some lunch. Is the marketplace open? No.
Yep. Marketplace is open. Yeah. It's technically indoors, so you have to wear a mask. But other than that, it's pretty much full functional. It looks like probably a couple places have closed out in the process, just probably more difficult for a while there to make ends meet. I don't know if it's been open the whole time. I don't know to tell you honestly, but it was fully operational. It was a Friday that we went down yesterday, so it wasn't like crazy busy or anything. It was actually relatively quiet, but it was still fully operational. So that was nice and got nice. To feel a little bit normal in our hometown. I took a few pictures just overlooking the city that I put in black and white because it was overcast. Everything was muted. I liked it a lot better in black and white, and I took the Fuji camera so that I wouldn't be having to lug around the big camera for this, just tucked into my pocket, and then took the photos that you see there. So one of my wife and daughter, one of myself and my wife, one of the kids together, had a little combo. But the one I wanted to mention, because they're all more or less similar photo, was the one that my wife took of me. So uh-huh. do you see anything unusual about that photo?
Well, it's in the title. There's something to do with the title. So I don't think I would have.
You shouldn't have read the title because
no. I'm saying, I'm being honest with you. I don't know that I'm. I would have seen it. Is it just what you're doing with your hands?
Yeah, it's like I don't know what to do with my hands.
Okay.
Yeah. So you've seen that, you've seen Talladega Nights, right?
I'm not sure I've seen the whole thing, man.
Okay. I truly enjoy that movie. You should go back and you should watch it. There's lots of good bits. It's one of those movies that I feel like it grows on you each time you watch it, but I enjoy that movie. And there's a great scene, in my opinion. It's not classic movie stuff, but it is very funny, where Will Ferrell's getting interviewed after a race win and he doesn't know what to do with his hands. And so the guy doing the video, like taking the interview, is trying to get his hands out of the interview shot, and they just keep creeping up. And that's what this makes me think about. It's like, what the heck are my hands doing there? Is this a boxing match that I'm getting ready for? Like, it's just so weird. It's not a natural position or pose with the hands at all. So I thought I'd include that because it was kind of funny. I didn't post it on my Instagram, and my wife did. I think she posted it on hers. And immediately, one of our friends got back to us with the Talladega Nights reference, which was funny because really? It was exactly what I said when I took that photo. I was like, oh, there's the Talladega Nights. Like, that's just, what do I do with my hands here?
Yeah, okay. I'm okay with it. I wouldn't have looked at it right away.
It's also, I think, because it's black and white and I'm wearing a black jacket, and so then my hands are very obvious to me because they're directly over in front of the black jacket. So there's that very distinct contrast in the photo. I'm like, once you notice it, you can't not notice it.
I thought maybe it was a reference to your ring, that you really committed to that ring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is a big ring. That looks like like a piece of drain pipe.
Yeah, it basically is. I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the show, but I designed that ring.
Okay.
That was a drawing that I made, and it's like, it's essentially got like, I don't know, it's nothing that complicated, but I've never seen another one quite like that. And it's just white gold, I think it's just, again, here's how much I know about it. White gold that I just kind of wanted it to look like, I don't know, a piece of
brass knuckles.
Yeah, kind of. No, I just wanted it to look unique. So I just wanted it to be kind of inlaid. It's very, the surface is very not polished, like it's kind of a scratchy finish to the gold. Uh-huh. And then yeah, it's got those little cutout inserts if you look closely all the way around. And yeah, just I get comments on that ring all the time from people, strangers, that like, where'd you get that ring, when and just how different or unique it is. So there you go, uniqueness. I drew it, I gave the guy a sketch. Okay. I said make this please, and a jeweler made it for me.
I went with a clear ring so that I wouldn't get a suntan. Like a suntan line. So when I go on road trips, you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
I'm just saying. No. Come on.
So Granville Island, it was nice to go and visit. It was one of those things that like, wow, it's been well over a year since we've been to Granville Island. And and the other thing I should mention is on my way back to the car, I took a picture, a famous picture that the Panger took. I think he used it on one of our photo challenges of those. What are they? You tell me, like those.
I think it's the cement factory there, isn't it?
I don't know what that is. I'm guessing. Well, they make sure.
All this giant cement truck, but there's what's the name of the cement? Oh, forget now. Anyways, whatever. I'm going to say Rempel.
Anyways, cement. I walked by and I'm like, I got to take a picture of that. Like that resonated in my mind. Like, I don't know how long ago that is. That's one of the, that's a Frank Pang original right there.
Yeah. Yeah. He did it better, obviously.
Oh, for sure. I didn't even try to compete. I was just like, I need to
I'm shout standing out. Somewhere. I am here. This is a place. Yeah.
And I feel like anyone who takes this photo, if they're coming to Vancouver, this is now referred to as the Panger right here. You take this shot, you officially participated in a Panger.
If you take it from the exact right spot, or is it the correct Pangle? No. I got partway through that and I was like, abort,
I liked it.
Abort that. And like, I liked it. No, do it. And looking behind, that's that weird building I've heard about. To the left side there.
Okay. Yeah. And the lines in this photo, like no matter which way you go from, just nothing lines up vertically. Like it's so bizarre. Yeah. I was standing and then I was looking at it on the camera. Cause when I was looking at it, I thought so weird how none of these angles kind of make sense to me. And then I looked at it on the computer and I was trying to think like, what's actually straight here? So I think I lined it up for the pangers to be straight. Yeah. Right? Like those painted pangers, and then the flagpole, and then everything else is not even close. So yeah, it's a weird kind of area of the world to try to see where vertical is.
Well, that's a weird, that building is, that's one of those optical illusion things. Like I think if you shoot it from the other angle, it makes more sense. Like it's built like that on purpose. It's some kind of funky thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've heard people talking about it. I've never actually seen it. I think it's fairly new, that building, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Is there a chance that this is ocean cement?
Maybe it says ocean there.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if it might be Ocean's 14, could be something like that. I believe it used to be something else, or there is another cement. There's a bunch of, see, Granville Island's a funny place because it used to be nothing. Like, it was just an industrial kind of area, like some other place that's industrial. Doesn't matter. But they decided, okay, well, industry was leaving, not all of it, but some of it's leaving, so let's just kind of make it a tourist place, even though it's called Granville Island, not an island, really.
Yeah. You know what it reminded me of, too, is your sister's wedding, because her wedding was down at Granville Island. And so when I'm walking around, I mean, Granville Island, again, and nobody who doesn't live in Vancouver is traveling probably right now. But when people start to travel, or if you live in Vancouver and you're listening to this, Granville Island is the greatest kind of spot as far as interesting backgrounds for portrait photography. Everywhere you look, mm-hmm. there's some cool, old, worn out looking backdrop that just, it sort of lends itself to a nice portrait. So of course my family wanted nothing to do with participating in any of this, and nor did I expect them to. But as I was walking around, I was reminded of your sister's wedding and just all the cool backdrops if you have willing participants for a photo shoot.
It's eclectic because like you have this sort of, I don't know, I'm gonna say steampunk, even though I can't really know.
Sure. I think you're right there. Yeah, it just has that sort of feel.
It's got all that, but it's got a mix too, because there's a little park there and a pond, and the different buildings have a very different architecture all mixed together.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you'll find even some of it is even that sort of mid 80s Expo 86 influenced absolute garbage design, which used to be over on North on Lonsdale Quay in North Van. Yeah. And they've kind of redone because they were like, oh, this is terrible. Like, this could only be more cocaine if, you know, Reagan was still president and there's cocaine here. That's all we could do to make this more 80s. It was so bad. Like, that sort of tube, like a lot of rounded corners and that like white tubing look, and just terrible. And so that some of it even shows up at Granville Island, but it's not overwhelming because it's all mixed in. There you go.
And you got all this metal and rust and wood, yeah, and like everything is
get sort your tetanus of, shots.
Yeah, but it's like intentionally rusted and old in a lot of cases, right? And yep, a lot of people would just walk around and just think, oh, this looks old and dirty, but it's a photographer's dream, I think, like in terms of
interesting. I think it's one of the top two local spots. Well, one of the top five spots, I would say, in Vancouver for wedding photos. I know a lot of Amber Hughes's favorite photos come from here. She shoots here a lot. Shoots there a lot with her wedding. Other places being Yale Town and Stanley Park off the top of my head.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. All right. That's enough of Vancouver travel log for now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll get back to it. But
one day.
There's that. Yeah. And again, like, the black and white looks really great too out of this camera. Once again, yet another love letter to this camera. I even looked after we talked last week or 2 weeks ago about you picking yours up for so cheap. I think you got yours for a scream. I have not seen anything. I even looked on Vancouver Craigslist just out of curiosity, and I think somebody had like the box the X100 came in, and that was it. Like, no cameras were available.
Oh, okay. And that might be just partly COVID related, people finding their hobby stuff, and not selling it. I don't know. It's
or not wanting to meet strangers in the back of a Tim Hortons.
Or that too. There's probably that as well. Although Craigslist still, there is a lot of stuff alive and well. So right. I'm just that's interesting though, that there was nothing available. I would have thought with more and more additions, there'd be more and more available, but apparently
you'd
not.
Think, but good luck. Cause I even looked on the Craigslist version over here, which is like a version of eBay. And there's like almost nothing too. Like, I would have to drive 100 kilometers from here to even get something remote. And even that was expensive. So they're holding their value pretty well. Wish I'd bought yours. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay. You're fine though, cause you have one.
I do. But if I were to, you know, next time I am in Vancouver, if one pops up for that price, I'm picking it up, no question. Just giving it to my kids even. Here you go.
Sure.
Forget it. I don't even like my kids. Forget that. That was stupid. Forget I said it. Okay. I shot nothing interesting, so that's good.
Perfect. Yeah.
Move on to the photo challenge, which this week was window light, Fensterlicht. What do we say? Fenêtre lumière. Is that how they say it? With the fleur-de-lis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my French is perfect. Have I told you my how to tell if someone French is from Quebec or France? Have I told you my test?
No. What's your test?
Ask them to translate shoes. How do you say shoes? How do you say shoes?
Soleil.
That's sunshine, but yeah, okay. You're close. You're close.
Oh, geez.
Soleil, yeah.
Soleil.
You're thinking of soulier.
Soulier, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's how you know. That's how you know that they're from Quebec, because they say les souliers. And versus? In France, les chaussures.
Ah.
Yeah. That's what I'm telling you. I was in France last year. No, year before, whenever I was in France last. And it was funny. We like at the water, at the pool, it was like, yeah, put your chaussure. Here's where your chaussures go. That's what they actually, how they said it. The sign said it. Here's where your chaussures go. It's like, yeah, there you go. I never learned that. I did like, I knew it. I knew it from France, but in Canada, we learned les souliers.
Or soleil, that's what I learned, yeah.
Or soleil, yeah.
It's close.
You got a shoe burn. Oh, outside too long, shoe burn. Yeah. Didn't you learn, what do you call it, like the Je te plumerai song, where you pluck things? You pluck feathers out of the nose, yeah.
Yeah, alouette.
You didn't pluck feathers? Yeah, you didn't pluck feathers out of the sun?
No, I didn't.
No? Your school sucked. Okay, let's get to our pictures. Let's go first with you again, because there you are with your camera.
Yeah, this is me this morning before we podcasted, realizing that I didn't have a photo. And
I'm
then,
the one that you picked.
And yeah, exactly. That's how it works, is that when it's something I pick, I figure I've got this. And then, just yesterday evening when the sun had already been well gone and it was dark, realized, oh no, I don't have a window light photo and there's no light. So, and then we're podcasting pretty early and we just had our daylight savings, which pushed the morning light even later. So it was pretty tight as far as me waking up and then the start of this podcast doing this and nobody else is awake. Actually, I think my wife was off already at a workout. So I'm alone thinking, oh no, I've got to do a window light photo of myself or an inanimate object, which is not really my style. So I put the camera on a tripod, used the 85 mil on the 60 on a tripod, and then just basically got right close to in our living room. There's double sliding glass doors and the morning light comes in that side.
Oh,
and
so this is door light then?
Yeah. Big, but it's complete windows. They're not doors. They're just glass doors.
La porte lumière.
Yeah. So I got as close, I pushed the sofa right up to the window. And then because it's dark, like these settings, I don't know, you could probably look, my ISO's got to be around 1600, mm-hmm. 1/60th of a second, because it's on a tripod, I could get away with that. And then
you're at 6400.
Oh, there you go, way up. Okay, I couldn't even get light there, so crank the ISO all the way up. I forgot where I ended up, and I'm also at like a f-stop of 3.5, 2.8, something in that range.
3.5, yeah.
Okay, so 3.5, and yeah, this is hard to get focus when you're going back and forth, and you're kind of focusing on a spot, and then trying to sit in that spot. So took me a number of tries to get one in focus, but this is a callback to the hands photo, because I was like, what do I do with my hands? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to hold a camera. That's what I do with my hands. So there you go. I solved my riddle from the previous photo with placing a camera in my hands to give them something to do.
A second camera. So here I am. I'm just waiting for you to finish. I'm not even listening to a word you say. I'm just waiting till I can get a hands joke in.
Yeah.
And then you stole it.
Yeah, because it was literally, I did a couple where I'm just kind of putting my hands up even more awkwardly than the original photo. But then I settled on, I'm going to correct the hand challenge. And so this is what I came up with, which I like. Nice. This is more subtle. I do like window light, very easy portrait setting. I like how the light kind of, you know, also creates interesting light in the background. So it's just, it's window light's great. The end.
The best part about window light, and this bleeds into my photo as well, is that if you forget to take your photo challenge, you can pretty much do it whenever you want.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's
I did the exact same thing. So here's a shot of my son. The one with the goofy look on his face. Okay. Actually, that doesn't narrow it down, does it? The one with the sort of the pursed lips.
That's is it the one that says photo. Alan? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the other one says Alan as well, but
You did a side profile window light with a very similar lighting effect that I did. Yeah.
Yeah. I copied you without even knowing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't see yours either. So interesting that we both got the little head tilt going.
Yeah. Good call.
Yeah. He's got a hoodie and hair. I don't. So there's that.
You went the other way. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but
he has a haircut scheduled for a couple days from now. Just a trim though. He's like, the kid's got honestly, he's got awesome hair. And he's like, dad, I want to shave it. I'm just like, yeah, absolutely not, son. I'll trade you hair. You can walk around with this gray Brillo pad if you like, and I'll take your rock star hair if that's cool.
Sure. Yeah. What's the pursed lip thing all about?
I just because he couldn't. Okay, so here this photo here, I had him posing by the window in my office, and he just wasn't really into it for some reason. Because I asked him for a favor, because it's been pretty much one way for his first 7 years of his life. I do everything for him. Turns out. Mm-hmm. And then, hey, man, I need a picture. He's like, oh, cool. So anyway, he agreed to sit for it. And then he was just kind of making like a super sad face. Just lost his best friend, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, man, come on, man. Like, you're not, are you happy? And then he's like, oh yeah, I'm happy. Here's my goofy grin. Like, here's just a crappy grin for you. And I was like, well, that's not good either. I want you to smile with your eyes, buddy. I want your eyes to be excited. And this is what he came up with.
Nice.
So this is the one I want. Well, I like the lighting. This is the 5D Classic with the 85 mil on it. A great go-to setup that you can get for, I'm not sure what a used 85 would go for. It'd be pretty cheap. I'm going to guess. What would you guess? What's if you could get a used 85 1.8 for the Canon?
I'm going to say $300.
That was my guess, was $300. And, which is still pretty good. You can get a used 5D Classic for probably around the same.
Yeah.
Maybe 400, but
maybe it should be $400. Yeah.
So great setup for something like this. And that was it. I snapped this, was happy with it, but thought I'll make this semi-interesting if I can. And I'll shoot the exact same photo with the X100. Just to compare and contrast.
Okay.
So the other one where he has the more conventional deer in the headlights look, that was shot in the exact same setup with a different camera. And that's with the 35 mil equivalent, 23 mil, but 35 equivalent on the small sensor with the X100 at an F2 versus an F4 on the other one.
Right.
So thoughts on the difference, compare and contrast, besides the look on his face is different.
Yeah, they're both good. The 85 mil is just nicer. Like, it's just, it's hard to explain why it's nicer. I think it seems like the X100 is a little flatter. His features are, his nose is more obvious in terms of depth. Like, the 85 mil compresses the features better. So the front of his lip, I know his mouth is pursed a little bit, but definitely the nose is more obvious. Like, there's more projection as far as his nose. Now, he doesn't have a big nose, but if he did, it would become even more obvious as far as the Fuji up close like this. But yeah, if I'm just looking at the X100, it's still good. But
that's the thing.
Side to side, I'll take the 85 here. Yeah.
And look at the background too. You see, like, on camera left is the curtain that's kind of hanging, the gray curtain.
So it's more in focus for sure on the Fuji.
Yeah, a little bit different, like, because the angle's different, you see a little more of it and a little bit more of the light that hits it. You're not as tight, because I have to be closer to him physically in order to get the similar framing with the other camera. But here's the thing is with the X100 shot, I took that to illustrate just how different it would be and like and how much better, like far and away better the 85 would be on the other camera. And then I was a little bit shocked to find out it wasn't nearly as big a chasm as I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I definitely prefer the full frame with the 85, no question, in this situation. But I was a little bit disappointed that it wasn't night and day.
Right.
But there you go. And plus, the colors are a little bit different. You can see it's very subtle. Just little subtleties in the whole image, but overall, still good times. Okay, topic this week. Now, this was we're having a new segment on the show, Adam.
Okay.
I've been throwing it around. I can't think of a good. Here's the title I've come up with, and I don't know if it's good or bad. And if it's bad, then you come up with a better one. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to just say it's good then.
Listener questioned.
No, that's bad. I can't sit back. I can't sit here and I can't. Yeah.
No, I'm like debating. I'm like, okay, meet the listener or it can't be meet the listener. That's not clever at all.
I like that better.
Well, yeah, no kidding. It's like, you know, when you step in. Okay, never mind. So, okay. We need a clever name for the segment. That's what we need. So the idea was, so here's the
thing. Let's leave it to the listeners. I think we'll get a better suggestion. That's my answer. Yeah. Yeah. Let's leave it at that. Let's question the listeners.
Well, that's what I just said. I'm generally, okay, here's how this all started. So I'm generally interested in what
I got it. I got it. Listener questions?
No, but they don't have questions. I have the questions. They're being questioned.
Okay. Wait. Listener questioned?
No.
Okay.
I think it needs to be in like an interrogation situation. We're like, so it's, incorporate our name into it.
Oh.
In two hosers agation. That is, rolls off the tongue like silk.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. That's terrible. That's worse than what you did with your hands earlier. Okay, but let's leave the name for now. We're going to, untitled. We're just going to call it untitled. Okay? So here's how this all came about, the genesis of this idea. I'm usually pretty interested in what people do, like what people do for fun, for a living, like their story in general. You know, just to make sure that I'm doing better than them. That's why I like to hear it, right?
Right.
Like on Facebook. I go through Facebook, but ooh, he got fatter than me. All of a sudden, I feel better.
Right.
Okay. That is all false. That is all false. No one got fatter than me. So... but in general, I'm interested. So one of the things I like about podcasts in general is that when you listen to them, they sort of become a part of your life because usually for the audio only ones, you're doing something else. You're driving, you're working, you're painting something, whatever it is that you're doing while you listen. And so I love the fact that they're tied in with that. And so I really do like to hear about what people are doing, not necessarily when they're listening to our show, but just shows in general. Like, what do you do? We had a few years ago. I was getting emails from a long haul truck driver, and so I'm genuinely interested in. So, how does that work? Like, where do you drive? How far is that? How does that all work? Like, little glimpses into worlds that I don't know anything about.
Okay.
So, I'd been thinking about doing this kind of segment for a long time, but I think the Canadian humility in us. Was like, they was just shouting to me, why would anybody want to talk to you on your show? That's ridiculous. Get over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then listener Roger Dahlman suggested it. Hey, why don't you hear from some of the listeners? And so here we are. We're doing it.
Does he have a name? Does he have a name for the segment?
The Dahlman Effect.
I like it.
Yeah. So Roger's a longtime listener and participant in the monthly challenge. If you followed along, you recognized his name on Instagram. So check him out for sure and follow him and interact, et cetera, et cetera. And so I said to him, I said, well, hey, this is your idea. This was your suggestion. So I guess you're going first. And he said, yeah, no problem. So we spoke yesterday, talked for a little bit. The idea was I kind of figured, you know, what do you expect from people? Maybe do five minutes or so. And we went a lot longer than that because he's a very interesting guy and his story. And so for this segment, Adam, we even have a new intro song.
Oh, my.
Maybe we do. I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
There's flooding in Australia.
Okay.
Which you wouldn't think has anything to do with it, but my buddy, the music guy who did the intro for our podcast 10 years ago, still lives in Sydney, and they're experiencing some... Like, he might be washed away tonight.
Okay.
So if he isn't washed into the ocean, he will have a little intro song for this segment.
Great.
So Steve, that's Steve Connolly, my buddy Steve Connolly from Vancouver, moved to Australia like 15 years ago, just south of Sydney. So we have listeners in Sydney. Hopefully they're doing okay, obviously. So if it's ready, that song will play right now. So Roger, so this was your idea, remember?
Yeah. Well, I've really enjoyed the community. We have a great bunch of people here, and as I said in my note to you, I've met a couple. Shot with J.C. Russo came down. Mike Roscoff invited me to his wedding when I was planning to go to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
It got canceled because of COVID, but I was going.
Yeah, that it always. That's been like the biggest source of pride for me and probably for Adam is the amazing community that kind of sprung up. We didn't go out looking for it. We're extremely flattered that we attract these kind of, you know, enthusiastic, like-minded people.
Well, it's different these days. Everybody's about, you know, it's called social networking. So, you know, I suppose you should be social at it. Doesn't do any good to be on a social network by yourself. So it's good to connect.
Looking at you, MySpace. Yeah. So again, I get this was your idea. We want to hear from a listener. So we're going to try to do this once a month, and this is the first one. So you know what? Like, no pressure on you, but if it goes bad, maybe this is the only one.
Well, Adam will be the one that ruins it. He's got to be more social.
Yeah, he won't even hear this. That's the joke of it. But so Roger, longtime contributor, longtime listener, you said. But I don't know everybody obviously by name, but I've seen your name pop up in the contributions, the monthly challenge contributions for a long time. We can find Roger Dahlman on Instagram. Definitely follow him. What got you started in photography? First of all, how where do you live and how old are you?
Well, I'm turning 63 next week. I live, I guess, in Virginia. I'm a military brat, so I've moved my whole life. And then I joined the Army and moved my whole life. And then when I retired from the Army, I got a job that had me traveling all around the world. And so, you know, home is where the house is. I didn't grow up in the same town with the same people. And so I now consider Virginia home, Northern Virginia, west of DC, about 40 miles west. So I don't have any of the DC problems. And I've just been taking pictures because of the travels my whole life. And then, got into photography as a way to help feed the family, shooting people.
Mm-hmm.
My first paid photo event was at the PGA Tour, the Crosby Invitational out in California. And ever since then, I've been shooting. Had Canon film cameras, then moved to Nikon digitals.
Let's go back to the beginning. You told me that how did you get your first camera?
Oh, I won it I was a paper boy back in the days when you had paper boys.
What's a paper?
Yeah. Get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, go fold 150 papers, put him in a bike with no helmet and drive around in the dark delivering papers.
Did you have the big giant rack on the front with like you put a I box did. In?
Great big basket.
Until you try to double your buddy on it and it just collapses?
Yeah. What happened is if you hit the curb wrong or if you hit a rock, it would just pull you completely over the bike and your papers would spill out on the road.
Yeah, or you were in danger of scratching somebody's automobile.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I won a camera in a competition there and I took to it right away. And you know, back in the day I bought my film in 100-foot rolls, put them in the canister, developed them myself. I had my own Durst enlarger in my house and just kept going. And then when it became digital, I moved to Lightroom. I was one of the beta testers for Adobe back when Lightroom was $300 a version.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never looked back. I mean, I loved developing my own film and stuff, but I don't have film cameras today. I'm all digital. It's so much easier.
It is a lot easier. And yeah, I shoot. I wish it was 99% digital, but it's 100 right now. I mean, just the time wise. But you said you were an Army brat, and then you joined the Army yourself. When did you join the Army? What year was that?
I was a Navy brat, and then I joined the Army in 78. I was a linguist.
Okay. Oh, so what languages do you speak?
German. Well, I used to speak German, Russian, and Polish.
Oh, so you can speak better German than me, I'm guessing.
Well, I used to. It's been a long time since we left Germany in 1993. And I've been back many times. So my Gasthausdeutsch is very good.
Gasthausdeutsch. Aber du hast die ganze richtig Hochdeutsch gelernt.
Yeah. I lived in Bavaria. So.
That's a mess.
Bavaria is like the Texas of Germany. They have different accents. They think they're special.
It's funny you say that.
Well, you see all this, you know, the stickers, the round stickers that tell you what state you're from. Most of theirs say Freistaat Bayern.
Yeah.
Free State Bavaria, because they joined the Germanic Union. They weren't conquered, but they joined because they were going to be conquered. So,
it's funny. You say Texas. I always, being Canadian, I always compare Bavaria to Quebec because it was the exact same thing. They have like a special distinct status. They joined so that they wouldn't get conquered. They don't really want to be Canada. Like it's always a coin toss. That's Bavaria. And of course they have a completely different language, but their French is not French. It's a weird, so the Quebecois, it's a different kind of thing. And that's what I notice when I go to Bavaria, I can't speak with the locals, but.
Yeah, every time I would travel from Germany, they would say, oh, you've been down to Bavaria because of my accent.
Yep.
And we were completely native. I mean, I had a German bank account, a German car. I have Bunthosen. We were huge Volksmarchers.
Okay, yeah.
So I've been all over Germany. And
so you started – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's a great place. I love Germany.
Yeah, I like it too. I mean, you said you'd been to Tübingen even.
Yeah, well, Army, so Stuttgart's just north of you.
Yep.
Big base, and Augsburg is only about 2 hours from you. And just south of Stuttgart, there's a German Army camp where they do some exercises, and I would assist in exercises. And so I've been to Tübingen. I've had the, oh my gosh, what's it called? The guy said it's so weird too. Your soup, your...
The Fladley?
Spargel soup.
Oh, Spargel soup. Yeah, that's coming up actually in about 3 weeks, probably three, 4 weeks, the asparagus. Spargel.
Correct.
It's Spargel here, not Spargel. We have the accent as well. They have the terrible Swabian accent, which is really hard to understand. Even probably worse than Bavarian or just different. But
yeah, I had an exercise that was down south of Tübingen even.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would go there and we actually stayed in Tübingen, walked around the city and So this was all before your podcast, but I've been back a bunch of times. We took our family back 1 year for Christmas to Augsburg, and then New Year's in Rome.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We're big fans of Europe.
Oh yeah, great. And then hopefully, you know, hopefully soon we can start doing that again. That's the idea. Now, you said you were a military photographer.
Yeah, I did that in the military when I was enlisted. You always had a second job, MOS they called it, and so my second one was photographer. And actually, we had military stuff. I would shoot military events. Grip and grins, and you know, when we were tearing down some of the installations. By that time, I told you I did two tours in Augsburg. One was enlisted, and one when I was a commander and a staff officer. And my last job there was actually in charge of the public affairs stuff. So when we were dismantling some of the equipment and stuff as we were starting to pull out in 1993-92, I was in charge of the people who were filming all of that stuff. So, you know, once again, I was back where I had been enlisted, which was a big deal for me.
Sure. And then in general, what's it like to be a military photographer? Do you get to shoot a lot of interesting stuff, or is it pedestrian?
No, for me, it was mostly pedestrian. I wasn't like, if you know Frederick Van Johnson, he was a combat photographer.
Air Force, I think, right?
Yeah, he was Air Force. I was not a combat photographer. There was no combat when I was,
right,
when I was doing this. So, you know, I would just shoot different things, German-American events, promotion ceremonies, reenlistments, that kind of stuff. But I got free film and free processing, and that made it worthwhile. Plus, it would get me out of other duties because, oh, no, you can't take him for that because he's going to be shooting photographs for this or that. So
peel your own potatoes, fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you move on to digital. You worked on version 1 of Lightroom, you said, a beta tester. How did that come about?
Well, I was involved in those days with a couple of groups, and by then I had started pre-social media, started talking to different photographers and got involved with the Kelby group. And they had Scott Kelby at that time, and I'm sure still today, has a special relationship with Adobe. So his followers, people, friends, whatever we called them then, got an invitation to this special software. And so I grabbed onto it. What was funny is most people think of Lightroom as something that's, you know, a basic developer and stuff like that. All my life I had been writing down, keeping my film and my slides all labeled. And on 3x5 cards, I said, okay, this slide number was taken at this place, at this time, at this location, has these people in it, because I was trying to, you know, if I had to find a photo, mm-hmm, I had to be able to find it. So for me, Lightroom was about the database, being able to keyword and find stuff instantly, since I have thousands and thousands and thousands of photos. So that I was more interested in that part of it than the actual processing. You know, post-processing, it's post-processing. I don't do serious post-processing in Photoshop or anything like that. So to me, it was just the ability to be able to find the photos quickly. I keyword everything.
Which is that's a weak part of my game. I always, you know, every year I say, I'll keyword this year. I don't do it. And I've been doing, I personally, I have a very excellent memory of who was where and what. Like, I have all these milestones in my life where I'm like, well, obviously, you know, my daughter was born that year and that was in June. So I know that was taken then. That's starting to slip now. I mean, not because I'm getting old, which probably is part of it, but there's so many photos and so many events that are piling on. I wish I had keyworded everything.
Yeah, it takes a couple of minutes, but you know, in once you if you bulk keyword, and then I bulk GPS. I went back and GPSed everything I could in my when I scanned my films and my slides and my negatives. So, you know, that's another thing that I like about Lightroom is you can look on a map and see dots all over where you've been. It tells you where you might want to go because you don't have any dots there.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. To me, when you're passionate about something, you do stuff that most people won't do. And I guess that's where I'm at. I'm very passionate about it and have been doing it now for a long, long time.
And so how did you get into, for lack of a better word, like start listening to podcasts or YouTube videos about photography? When did that start?
Well, when they first started, back in the days of, you know, it was Tips to the Top Floor, I think is the oldest.
And definitely the longest running. Yes.
Yeah. Longest running. And there were some, there's a guy in Japan. Oh my gosh. I can't remember his name. And I listened to him anyway. I still travel.
Martin something?
Who?
Is his name Martin?
Martin Bailey.
Right.
Yes, Martin Bailey. And then, you know, we got This Week in Photo. And what happened is that since I travel all the time, I would bring these podcasts along and listen to them. I was teaching at the time, and so I would hear different ways to describe something. You know, if I tell you this is the way to do it and you don't understand, if I had another way, another set of words that I'd heard from another photographer, then it would help change up the language I used and people would understand it more. I mean, we used to get paid to do this stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I've actually been a birthday present a couple times. People have paid me to take their birthday person out in the morning and shoot, and then in the afternoon I would go through the basics of Lightroom, show them how to organize the pictures we just shot. And you know, that's all dried up. Everybody's into YouTube and there's good information there, you know. So why not?
I've done the same thing. I've taken people out, and I always start with them, you know, take a film camera. Don't shoot any film, but show them how it works, and here's what's physically happening. And then here, we'll take your digital camera, and we'll shoot. And the exact same thing as you said, like just I had no idea how that was going to, what the paradigm would be. It just made sense to me that we'd go out in the morning and shoot, and then bring them into the computer later. And it was fine, but I found it, the person didn't absorb as much information as quickly as I would have liked. And I kind of find that while that has dried up, that business model has dried up, I find a much faster engagement when it's in podcast form or YouTube or whatever it is. Because, well, I mean, how do you feel about this? I think one of the things I like about podcasts, specifically audio only podcasts, is that it's not intrusive. Like, it becomes part of your everyday life. You can do it when you're traveling, etc.
Yeah, it is good that way. And if you're driving, it helps keep your attention. And plus, like I said, you hear the same process spoken about in different ways. And for people who are traveling, having trouble understanding the basics, it can help them, you know, to hear it a couple different ways, and all of a sudden it pops and you go, oh, okay, the triad, the trio, you know, ISO, shutter speed, and aperture. I mean, it's nothing once you figure it out. But before you figure it out, it's like this big mystery.
It is. It's so many variables going on. And like I try to explain to everybody, look, like, let's eliminate as many variables as we can. Just deal with one at a time. And then you can understand how they play. But the whole thing, what I point to, you know, when people are struggle with it, I say, you know, Adam figured it out. If he can do it, surely you can do it.
Surely.
Yeah.
You know, I can figure it out, and please don't call me Shirley.
he's another Canadian right there, Leslie Nielsen. Very proud Canadian.
Yeah.
So Roger, thanks a lot for taking the time to come on the show and do the pilot project. We need a snappy name for this segment. I still haven't thought of it. I've been spending 2 weeks trying to rack my brain. Like, hearing from a listener, that doesn't sound good.
I'll cogitate on it a little bit. Let me see if I might just send you another suggestion at the risk of being told to go find my own podcast.
No. We're wide open to suggestions, of course. And so, you have until tomorrow night to figure it out. Then I record with Adam. It'll have to be on there, and we'll figure it out. Maybe even get our own little. I'll employ my buddy in Australia who did our original music, our intro music. I'll get him to do a special jingle for this segment if I can think of a name.
Yeah, Australians have a good sense of humor. He should come up with something.
I've been
down there 6 times. I love Australia too.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. You've been all over the world. I love Australia. I. It's funny because I haven't been there in. It's 19 years now. That was 19 years ago that I was there, and I remember at the time thinking, like, I'm writing down everywhere I've been, thinking, oh well, I'll see that when I come back, and it's I haven't been back yet. So.
Yeah. Well, I've been everywhere except Africa. And Antarctica, and I'm determined to get to at least Antarctica and hopefully South Africa, but I haven't gotten there yet. But I've been all 50 states, all through Canada, all over Europe, Japan, Australia, New Zealand. Yeah, I haven't had a bad life.
No, sounds excellent. And you might be the only other person besides me and my wife who've been to Vancouver and Tübingen.
That may well be true.
Not a lot of overlap there. So
No, there isn't.
So as I said, you're Roger Dahlman on Instagram. I encourage everyone to go and follow you and comment on your photos. They're excellent. You told me you like to shoot travel people while you travel, which is a great combination.
Yeah, and I always follow back to Hosers people.
Okay, there you go. Even better. Roger, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And we're back.
We want Pang. We want Pang.
Well, listen up, Chief. Hey, he's your neighbor.
You weren't standing next to Roger when you recorded that segment.
How do you know?
Oh, that's a good point. I don't know. I'm guessing you weren't.
I'm guessing you're not even going to listen to the segment.
No, probably not. Was it good?
Yeah. Yes, excellent. Well, he's probably, besides myself, he's probably the only person in the world who's been to Tübingen and Vancouver. So,
wow.
That's pretty cool. It was good. It was one of the things I really appreciated about him listening was, again, if you listen to the segment, he talks about he wasn't listening to our podcast or any other podcast about photography necessarily to learn something because he's a very accomplished photographer. But he was, you know, he likes to listen to learn how to explain something better to other people, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Sure. So he's kind of listening to you and figuring out how not to do it.
Yeah. If you listen back, you'll find out you get ripped on pretty big in this segment.
Well, the best news there is I'm not going to listen back. Yeah. So
yeah. Just yelling into the void. That was what we're doing. Yeah, just tilting at windmills.
Yeah, yeah. But I will say that it's sort of, we should put this recording maybe on a back burner because I don't know how you get to this segment and don't have Pang as the first guest. That's what the listeners want.
He didn't suggest it.
They want Pang.
He didn't suggest it.
He didn't suggest Pang as the first ask the
no,
listeners.
No, he didn't suggest himself. He suggested the segment and I'm the one who approached him. So, you know what? So, we're going to try this. I'm telling you, we're doing this, I think once a month is the plan. We'll do 12 of these a year is the idea.
So, the next 11 are with Pang.
Yeah. Well, he's actually going to be the new guest host. The next one's going to be with you. He's going to interview you.
But I'm never going to listen.
Doesn't matter.
But isn't it for listeners?
I don't know. I wasn't listening. Point is... Okay, so this is mid-March. So mid-April. I'm going to give you in May, okay? Because we'll do one more. We're going to have to figure out how you can go and record outside
Because you'll go meet Panger down at Gary Point.
Maybe next. You're going to do. Maybe in like 2028. I think in this scenario, it's got to be. We can't be in person. Are you kidding me?
Why? Outside?
Yeah, no. No way.
Your son plays the clarinet and he's still alive.
No, we can't. My son is related to me.
Yeah, but he plays the clarinet at school with other people.
Not with me, though.
Oh, I see. It's about you. Okay. Yeah, but you got the vaccine though.
I did, but how are we gonna record outside and be apart? No, there's a lot of variables here. No.
You and I recorded outside.
Yeah, that was pre-COVID. When we didn't have to be
we had two mics.
8 feet apart or whatever.
We kinda did.
We did?
I wanted to. You're pretty handsy. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah.
All right, well, Panger, reach out.
We learned about the hands. I should have tied it in with the hands joke earlier. That was just a separate hands joke. A lot of very hands heavy this episode. So we'll figure it out. Like, we'll figure out the deets. We'll get the details down. I would, when you do interview the Panger, I would like it to be on location down at Gary Point where you've been or Granville Island.
Listen, you're going to interview Panger. This is what you do. No. This is not what I do. Plus, I'm the one that always kind of, you know, makes sort of fun of Panger. Let's not say fun of, but fun with Panger, which would be way better if you guys are talking behind my back than me talking.
In front of you, though. How about this? I got it. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. Is sometime in May, we'll let the weather get better. Mid-May, what we're going to do is you're going to meet the Panger for a little photo shoot.
Oh, that's the segment called Meet the Panger.
Meet the Panger. No.
Yes.
No, because it's not going to be Pang every week, so it has to be.
No, oh, it man, will be. That's the humor, is it's always Pang.
Right. I don't see it sustaining.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, plus, Panger's got better stuff to do.
Like, I'm not sure.
How many
sure
times is he going to slum? How many times is he going to slum? Like, we'll get one out of him. He'd be like, oh, boy. That really, never meet your heroes. That's for sure. That's what he'll say. No, here's how it's going to go, honestly. And we got to wrap this up because this is a long episode. And quite frankly, you're boring. So, okay.
All right.
You guys will meet in Gary Point on like a Saturday. I will be here. I will call in. We will do a FaceTime call while you're out on location. I will handle the interview, but you'll be there on the line as well. So you can have your own. We can do like a group chat. I'll phone him and you, so no, you don't have to stand next to him.
I'm never going to do this. We're going to do this all via the internet because otherwise, yeah. Panger might knife me or something. He might shiv me.
Well, this took a turn. Yeah. I don't think that it's not the Panger. It's not Panger I know. You know what he will do? He is a humongous fan of Megadeth. He'll show up in his car with that cranked on 10. Because you know what his nickname is?
What?
Panger the Banger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see. Okay. We'll see. I in person, I'm not sure. That's not my move. Yeah, I'm kind of lurking in the shadows.
Doesn't make it less creepy. Okay, we'll hash out the details off the air because now it's become troublesome.
Okay.
Okay. Monthly challenge for this month is offbeat. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers. Even better, do both and tag us at two hosers on the Instagram. We'll check that out. Challenge for next week. I got one that's going to a little bit more effort. The last couple have been kind of, honestly, they've been phoning it. We phoned it in a little bit.
Okay. What's this?
Here's what I want to see.
My last one was good. My last Monday one, that was good.
I didn't say it wasn't good. Yeah. Okay, but no, in terms of, what was your one last week?
Well, it was Monday, but I did it of my daughter.
Oh, yeah,
I got out the whole freaking beauty dish. Are you kidding me? I went all out on that.
You got the kit, but you didn't get the caboodle. The caboodle stayed in the house.
Okay, all right. That's fair.
You had the kit? No, you had the kit.
I had a reflector, for heaven's sakes.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Oh, am I talking to your mom? Your mom's friend Daphne now? What is that?
Yeah.
The, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
You're not going to hear Panger say that.
No.
Yeah. The you know, you hear like a panger say, "Hey, where's the mosh pit?" That's what you hear a panger say. So, yeah, okay, for next week, baseball magazine cover.
Baseball magazine cover. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what you're going to shoot. I
we don't have jerseys or anything, though. Like, I don't know how it works with you guys, but we get the jerseys, like, once, like, the actual season starts. Like, we're doing spring training here, too. Like, we have baseball, mm-hmm. but we don't have the actual uniform. So, I'd be, like, fabricating
something. You can figure something out.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. I'll try.
Then you throw some shoulder pads on them and just do, you know, Jack Knows Baseball.
Okay. All right.
The Bo Knows Baseball copy.
Yeah, I had the poster in my room.
Yeah, of course. Of course you did. Yeah, no, my son has a jersey because I play, and he has his own fan jersey for his hero, his dad.
Right.
So maybe if you did stuff besides have weird hands and make rings, your son would have your jersey.
That's true. Now, I have a lot of thinking to do.
No, you don't. All right, that's for next week, baseball magazine cover. All right, Adam, still no website. Follow him on to Adam at Adam2Hosers on Instagram, though.
Yeah.
That's his website.
I'm taking over Instagram.
Yeah, you and Kimmy K tied for first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can find my old stuff at alanatwich.com or the two of us at 2hosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week. Get out there and make better photos.